You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Well, we are starting our Christmas series today, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about Christmas, and the whole message is series is a journey of a lifetime. And what we're doing in this series is we recognize that every journey has a beginning and an end. But how many of you know it's what happens in the middle that is usually at times the most exciting, the highs and the lows. So in this series, what we're going to do is we are going to look at some of the key characters that end up in the nativity story, end up being at the stable at the time when Jesus is born. And that's what we're going to be doing over the next few weeks on the lead up to Christmas. And today, we're going to focus our attention on Mary and Joseph. Joseph and Mary, that's going to be our focus for the next few moments today. I think every single one of us in this room know what it's like to be on a journey, but to be interrupted on the journey. You ever been in a car with a child where the child says, "Daddy, Mummy, I need a wee," or "Daddy, Mummy, I'm going to be sick"? I'll tell you this one story. I can do it because she's not in this service. One day, my daughter and I was driving her from Sheffield across to Manchester for Festival Manchester 2003. My daughter was 2.5. She's in the back seat of the car, and halfway across the Snake Pass from Sheffield, she goes, "Daddy, I don't feel very well." And my senior pastor was sitting in the passenger seat of the car that I was driving. She goes, "Daddy, I don't feel very well." And my pastor turned and looked back and says, "Georgia, what's up?" I don't know if your children have ever projectile vomited, but this was next level. This came from the baby seat in the back to the front. It hit my pastor's face full on. It actually hit the front of the car. And I looked at him, and all I remember is his glasses being matted, and it was dripping off his nose. I mean, it was epic. I didn't know whether to commiserate with my daughter or say, "Georgia, that is awesome. How did you do that?" Every journey has a middle bit, a high and a low. I have a friend who is a pastor in the south of England, and I need to keep his name off the record in case he sues me in telling this story. So I'm going to call him Captain Roy, just to disguise his name a little bit. Captain Roy decided that he, at a certain age, wanted to be a sailor. And so he goes on eBay and buys a secondhand kind of sailing boat. It's got a little bit of a motor there as well. Cost him about $5,000 or something like that. Has watched enough YouTube clips to be dangerous. And so says to his wife, we'll call her Kelly. So Captain Roy and Kelly, he manages to talk her into going out on the boat. And while they're out on the boat, it turns out that they run out of fuel. The problem with running out of fuel was that the tide was changing and he realized they were getting drawn towards a sandbank. Now, it's one thing going on a journey. And the journey for my friend is, I want to be a sailor, I'm going to be a captain. But it's what happens in between time. That's what's important. And running out of fuel, drifting towards a sandbank, at that point he realized several things. Number one, he had a map, but he didn't know how to read it. Number two, he had a radio with which he could call help from the Coast Guard, but he didn't know how to use the radio. And so his wife says, "Well, let's use our mobile phones and call the Coast Guard to help us." And they realized they left their phones in the car. And as the tide went out and they ended up on this sandbank with a keel underneath, leaning precariously, it was awesome next day for them to be in the news, you know, having been rescued, Captain Roy and his wife, Kelly. It's one thing having a dream to go on a journey, but it's what happens in between that is really important. And every single one of us in this room today, we all have a dream, we all have an end point, we all have a goal. I guess many of us in this room, maybe if we're single, we want to be married, or if we're married, we maybe want to have children, or if we're in a job, we want to maybe have a different job or a promotion or an opportunity. And it's what happens in between that determines really those destination points. Anyone can get a girlfriend, but will you treat the girl like a daughter of heaven? Anybody can get a job, but will you be disciplined? Anybody can be a part of a church family, but will you turn up on time? It's what happens in between that determines so much about the destination points you get to. And so Luke chapter 1, here we have a story about two people. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary, of course, was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God." Don't be afraid. You found favor. Sometimes favor looks like being afraid. Sometimes God's favor looks like being out of your depth and being scared. But don't be fearful. You found favor. God's bringing you into a new season. He was troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting it may be. "Don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God." Now imagine you're Mary. Imagine this is your ordinary day. This is your average life. This is an ordinary season in your world when all of a sudden an angel appears before you and gives you that message. How's that for an interruption? Now what we know is this: Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, engaged. But back 2,000 years ago, this was a contractual obligation. So they weren't yet married, but they were contracted to be married. And so they are on a journey of love, a journey of excitement, a journey of the wedding day. And right in the middle of the journey, the angel says, "Uh-oh, hey, good news, favor, you're pregnant, you're going to give birth to the Messiah." How would you respond? What would you think? After being scared — we know she was scared because he says, "Don't be afraid." Thrilled, in awe, worry, anxiety, and then, uh-oh, how am I going to tell Joseph? Because this whole thing caught her by surprise and caught everybody by surprise. But what I want you to see here is that Mary got a word from God and then literally had to carry the word of God. The Bible in John chapter 1 says Jesus is the word. So she didn't just hear the word, she was now carrying the word within her at the same time. And it's such an important thing to understand that there are times when you get a word and you'll be asked to carry a word, but the world doesn't yet know what that word is. I think that's what happens when God speaks to his friends. That when God speaks, something happens. Faith is conceived. And you begin to hear from God, and now you have a word that you carry within you. And it can be frustrating when God's given you a word, but nobody else has seen the fulfillment of that word. How frustrating is it when you've got a God dream and a God hope and a God aspiration? You were in church, God spoke. You were at a conference, God spoke. You were watching church online, God spoke. God gave you a word. It's like, this is real. It's alive in me. But I dare not say anything. Because if I say anything, people may think I'm a little bit higher than thinking of myself more highly than I ought. And so we end up with this tension of getting a word and carrying it. Is it possible that that's really what God wants from you in this season? He wants you to be a faithful carrier of his word. You see, Audacious Church started in 2007 here in Manchester, but God spoke to me about this in 1994 in the Blue Mountains of New South Wales. And back in 1994, God gave me a word and was saying, "Glenn, will you be faithful to carry this word?" Now, there were moments along the way from 1994 all the way up to 2003. 9 years I carried a word. 9 years. There were only a handful of people in my world who knew this word. My wife, Pastor Stewart, my mum, and my dad. That was the group who knew the word. And in 2003, the word got a little bit more focus. And in 2006, a little bit more focus. But the word didn't come to pass until 2007. Carrying it from 1994 to 2007. In 2003, I was sitting at a conference in Australia, sitting 20 or 30 rows back, thousands and thousands of people, maybe 10,000 people there. I didn't know many people, not many people knew me. Sitting 20 rows back, and as I sat there, God spoke to me and said, Glenn, soon you'll be preaching on that platform. And it was a word that was conceived within me, and God was saying, Glenn, are you faithful to carry the word? When my wife was 18, she finished high school in Australia, jumped on a plane and traveled the world on her own for 10 months. She came to Europe, and when she was in Europe, she had a moment one day. She'd only been in Europe about 3 or 4 days. She had a moment where she realized God spoke to her and said, one day you'll live in Europe. And she thought, I don't need to see anymore. So booked an early flight to go back to Australia. That happened when she was 17. It wasn't until she was 25 when that word came to pass. You see, I want you to know, church, that when God speaks to you, it's like a baby in the womb. It's something gives birth to life. The Bible says his word is living and it's active and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And God really, when he speaks to us, says, will you stay faithful in the journey? Not just the excitement of, I've got a word, I've got a dream, but will you stay faithful in the journey? It takes a baby 40 weeks of gestation. And any baby born before 40 weeks, there's certain dangers associated to that. Did you see that last week a baby was born at 21 weeks? 21 weeks. Amazing. But it takes a baby 9 months. Why are we in such a rush, friends? Why are we in such a rush for the Ancient of Days, the old one, the Ancient of Days? Why are we in such a rush to say, God, that word you gave me, you've got to fulfill it now. God's saying, no, no, no. God, the lesson that we learn here is this, is that if you carry it, God will deliver it. God's saying, if I can trust you with that seed of faith, if I can trust you with that dream for that relationship, if I can trust you for that faith, that dream for your marriage, if I can trust you faithfully to carry the dream that I spoke to you about for your business, if I can trust you to walk this journey faithfully, then God says, if you carry it, I will deliver it. All Mary had to do was be faithful. All Mary had to do was carry the word. And then there came a time when it was time for that baby to be born. Look at these verses, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is a confidence of what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith. So when God speaks, word, something happens on the inside. Something is birthed. And God says, though you can't see it and though nobody else can see it, God says, if you're faithful to carry it, I will deliver it. In other words, on this journey of carrying the dream for my business, and carrying the dream for my children, and carrying the dream for my church family, God's saying to me, Glenn, stay faithful. Don't run to the left or the right. Don't get distracted by the little foxes. Don't allow discouragement and disappointment to ruin that which I've birthed within you. Because if you're faithful to carry it, God says, I will deliver it. Come on, somebody. Jeremiah 1:12, it says this. It says that he is watching over his word to perform it. And that's definitely what happened here for Mary. The baby was in the womb. I'm watching over my word to perform this. Literally, I'm watching over the word. God's doing that for you, friends. Psalm 27:13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Wait for it. Don't give up. You see, getting God's word is God's job, but carrying it is our job. When God spoke to me about moving back to England, I wasn't praying and saying, God, send me to England. I didn't say to God one day, God, would you send me back to the nation and the city of my birth? No. I was in God's presence. I was praying and I was reading my Bible, but this thought that burned hot, I'm going to send you back to England. You're going to plant a church, etc., etc., etc. It wasn't my job to get the word. That was His. He'll give you the word. You've got to carry the word. And He says, if you carry it, I'll deliver it. I think that's really exciting. Because that means this. If the dream hasn't come to pass yet, if the word hasn't been birthed yet, if you physically can't see the miracle yet, that means today could be the day. And if you go to bed tonight and it didn't go according to plan, good news. Tomorrow, His mercies are new every morning. Now Monday is not tomorrow. Now Monday is today. And even if I go to bed on Monday night and it hasn't come to pass, I'm not going to give up. Because how many of you know the baby will come? You're not in charge of the timing. I mean, my daughter was born on the 22nd of August, the year 2000. On the 21st of August, 2003, my wife says, I think this next baby is ready to be born. I said, we can't have this next baby because it's my daughter's third birthday tomorrow. Sophie, you're going to have to hang on for 24 hours. And that day, Georgia woke up for her third birthday and Mum and Dad weren't there. Grandma was there. Later that afternoon, I came and I picked up my daughter. I said, hey, honey, got a great birthday present for you. Here's your baby brother. I don't know if she's blessed by that since or not. If you carry it, God will deliver it. Friends, we gotta stop looking at our watch so much and learn to be faithful in the carry. Long obedience in the right direction. People in this church who I've known for many, many years, and you've proven God again and again and again. And many of you in this place have had great lows, great highs as well, and yet you're still moving forward. It's easy to give up. It's easy to be frustrated. It's easy to see the obstacles and the challenges and say, no, it's too difficult. But God says, no, if you carry it, I'll deliver it. I want to pray for you right now. If you're carrying a word from God about your business, your children, your family, your wife, your husband, your future wife, your future husband, your finances, your health, your mental health, quickly stand to your feet right now. We're going to pray that faithful carriers will stay strong. Stay courageous in this time in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to heaven across this place. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you spoke and your word is shut up in our bones. And we feel that tension at times, Lord, of saying to you, God, when will it come to pass? But Father, thank you for the truth of Mary, that if we're faithful in carrying this word, then the time will come, you will deliver. So I pray right now, supernaturally, would you just encourage every single one of our precious church family. Lord, I pray for those who are disappointed, discouraged, that even right now, supernaturally by your Spirit, would you lift off that discouragement and disappointment. Help us to look forward to another day wherein it could happen tomorrow. But one thing we refuse to do, Lord, is we refuse to give up. We refuse to terminate this word within us. We choose to be faithful carriers of that which you have sown. Thank you for your word. Thank you that the day of birth is coming. And for that, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's thank God for this truth right now. Faithful in carrying, faithful in carrying. Come on, let's give him thanks. The day of birth is coming in Jesus' name. You can grab a seat quickly. We looked at Mary quickly, but what about Joseph? How would you feel if you're Joseph? Now, I've got to be honest, when Soph said to me we were going to have a baby, I at least knew what was going on. I knew how it happened, and I knew who was responsible. And I also had the thought, now I'm going to have to be responsible. What about Joseph? What about Joseph? We don't know. Maybe he's in, Starbucks in Bethlehem. And not in Bethlehem, in Nazareth. Just, chilling out there, having a goat's milk latte with cinnamon on top. And Mary comes in, you know, his fiance, they've got a contract. They've been to the courts and signed the contract, and the dowry has been paid. The ring is not on the finger. They're not officially married. They've never had sex. Hey, Mary stands up. He gives her a hug, and she's looking a bit sheepish. She's got a look in her eyes that he's never seen this look before. She's perplexed. She's happy. She's sad. She's happy sad. It's one of these weird things that women can do. They cry, but they're happy. It's very confusing. And now she has to explain, I'm pregnant. Listen, before you say anything, it was God. Yeah, right. How would you explain it to your fiance that there was no other man involved, that this was a God thing? What's he meant to think? I'm not even married. What are my friends going to think? Oh my gosh, Mum is going to kill me. I mean, initially, friends, Joseph didn't even have the opportunity to see the angel, to actually work out a different situation, to actually negotiate. Hey, Gabriel! Because we think we can negotiate with God, don't we? Hey, Gabriel! Johnny and I and our masters a few years ago, we did a module on negotiating. How do you negotiate? And we got taught this, that in negotiation, you look for the golden nugget. The golden nugget is that trading point, the one thing where the person you're negotiating with, they can get what they want, but you can also get what you want. And you can imagine Joseph searching for the golden nugget with Gabriel. Gabriel, you got this wrong. Not married. Bit of a problem. Never had a son. Never had a. I'm first father. First father syndrome. And how many of you know, dads, what we were like with the first kids? We guinea pigs. We call them, don't we? We tried and failed in the first ones, and the others are okay, aren't they? You can almost imagine Joseph saying, "No, you want the guy next door. He's already got 8 kids. He never shouts at his kids. I've only heard him swear once. He would be much better." But Joseph didn't even have the opportunity to negotiate, to actually go to God and say, hang on a minute, I think you've got this wrong. And I think we all try that, to bargain with God. You ever actually said to God, God, you got the wrong person. I'm the wrong one. I'm not qualified. You see my track record? You seen what my life has looked like? Have you seen those failed things? One of the brilliant things about God is this, is that when God calls you and makes known to you his will for your life, he already factored in your stupidity. That's the best thing you're ever going to hear in your life. Yeah, Pastor Paul, although he probably doesn't call you pastor, he probably calls you Paul. Yeah, Paul, I know you're a dummy. I know, yeah, Paul, I know. Yeah, how often do we keep going to God and keep reminding God of our problems? It's almost as though God is the judge, we are the lawyer, the barrister, and we're putting all our weaknesses and frailties and problems in the dock, and we are defending our problems to God. The challenge is this, is that when you defend your problems, you keep your problems. They stay part of who you are. But my friend, when you actually look to the Word, and the God who gave you the Word, then it is amazing how those problems that have been like anchors to your soul holding you back, it is amazing how now those problems no longer become an anchor. It's almost as though because you got a Word, the chains are broke to the past. And you move on into the future, knowing that that bump is getting lower. There's going to come a moment when that baby drops so low that you know that you know that you know, on the 21st of August, 2003, we got to go to the hospital now. That usually happens when you least expect it. You see, the lesson for Mary is this, is that with Mary, Mary's lesson is this, if you're faithful to carry it, he will deliver it, But the lesson from Joseph is this: just trust God. That's hard. Come on, can we admit it's hard to trust God? It's hard to trust God at times when you've got a word and you're so desperate for this word to come to pass. It can be hard to trust God when He's not working according to your watch. It can be hard to trust God when you're trying to explain it to your friends who've neither seen God nor know God. You ever talk to a family member who doesn't know Jesus and try to explain to them what's going on in your life? You realize you're speaking different languages. Like, even while you're talking to them, you're listening to what you're saying through their ears, and you're thinking to yourself, I wouldn't even believe me if I was listening to me with what I was saying. To lean in, to trust God. And certainly here, for Joseph, everything was out of his control. There was nothing he could do. About 4 years ago, the council built some chimneys near my house, and it really unsettled me. So morning, noon, and night, I look at these chimneys, and it's puffing stuff out the top, and apparently it's healthy. We were told it's healthy. But I'm seeing smoke every morning, or steam, or whatever it is, and I just kind of lost. And so for 4 years, I've been looking to move. 4 years, I've been looking to move. We put a house on the market earlier this year when the stamp duty window was frozen. Do you remember that? We sold a house within 48 hours, over the asking price. We're like, yes. So we went, we found another house. We actually put down a reserve, and we put down 10% deposit on a new house. And then after 2 months, the estate agent phones me back and says, I can't find the people who said they were going to buy your house. They've gone quiet in the midst of everything. And now we're committed to a house. And our house went back on the market. And you know, for 3 months, we did not even get a sniff. And even right now, this week, my wife and I move into our new house on Wednesday. We're really excited. We've been in the house we've been in for 12 years. I'm getting away from the chimneys. But just this week, the new people that have decided to buy the house have asked for a second survey, and we don't even know if our house that we're leaving has sold, but we're committed to this new house. We move in on Wednesday. It's completely out of my control. So, I've got to trust. Oh, it's a pain in the neck. How frustrating is it trusting God? When you have your plans, in his heart, a man plans his steps. But it's the Lord who determines your course. If you're faithful to carry it, God will deliver it. And on this, our first Sunday weekend of church, let's come back to a place again. Learning to trust the Lord. Because prophetically, I want to say this. The bump has dropped, and soon the baby will be born. Come on, let's thank God for His word right now. Father, I pray just in this moment, stand to your feet across this place, church. Father, in this moment, as we think about the words that you spoke to Mary, don't be afraid. Found favor. Lord, I pray that supernaturally in this season, in this holiday season, in this Christmas season, Lord, I pray that our trust of you and confidence of you would go to a whole new level. We say to you, God, do it again. That which you've done in our lives before, do it again. That which you've done in the life of a brother or sister in our church family, sitting on the other side of the auditorium, do it again. Father, we think about our new campuses in Cardiff and Sheffield and Geneva on this day, and we speak over them, and we say, God, would you do again over there what you've already been doing over here in Manchester? Do it again. But as your church, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Pray it out loud. God, this morning, I ask you to do it again. And even though trusting you is difficult at times, even though I want to take control of my life, this morning, I take my hands off the steering wheel. I resign as CEO of my world. I acknowledge you as God. Help me to carry the word. God, help me to trust you. Because I know that as I trust you, there will come a moment when this word that I'm carrying will be seen by the world. In Jesus' name. And what I really love about Mary is this, is that Mary, in probably in those fleeting moments of humanity, and Joseph as well, they made this about themselves. Potentially, how will it look? How do we explain it? What will the community say? What will mum and dad say? But the reality is this, is that which they were carrying was not for them, but it was for the world. Is it possible today that what you're carrying is not just for your breakthrough, but for the breakthrough of many? If all we do is just decide to be faithful. Come on, let's put our hands together. Can we thank God for His word today?
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.